preaching today at the Faith Chapel Baptist Church in Crossville, Tennessee, where Donnie Bell is pastor. And we're blessed to have with us today Pastor Ralph Dale from Folkston, North Carolina. He's going to be preaching in both services. So this church welcomes you, Brother Ralph. You come and preach as the Lord leads.
Well, it is good to be in your midst this morning and be able to be with you. I'm humbled and honored by your pastors inviting me, having confidence to invite me to stand here, minister to you the gospel. It's a high responsibility. I don't take it lightly. I read a statement some time ago that's stuck with me. I was preaching at a church back during August. Well, I think Paul and Terry, y'all two came down, right, Rick, and during that time, I was in the pastor's study. I was going through some of his books and came across a statement that just really, I needed it at that particular time in my life, and concerning preaching. And the statement went something like this, that God does not honor preaching that does not honor Him and His Son. And I try to remind myself of that every time I stand up in the pulpit. I want most of all for my preaching to honor the Father, God the Father, and God the Son, and of course God the Spirit, that He would be pleased to honor His Word, His Gospel, that my preaching would exalt the Lord. And that's what I desire. That's my prayer as I stand before you this morning and, Lord willing, tonight. Our God would be honored. Christ would be exalted by the message that I attempt to bring to you. Would you turn with me, please, this morning to the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 3. I have chosen several passages that I want for us to look at this morning. We're going to begin in Titus and then move on to some others. But Titus chapter 3, verse 4, beginning in verse number 4. Titus 3, beginning in verse number 4. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That being justified by His grace. Now, would you turn with me to the book of Romans? Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. Now Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And now our final passage will stay there, and that's Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. In verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You notice in all these passages that I've had you turn to speak of justification, beginning with Titus chapter 3, verse 7, and then Romans 5, Romans 8, now Romans 3. I could have turned to more. Book of Galatians speaks much of justification, but I wanted to establish the subject by giving you those passages. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of justification. I've entitled the message, Some Questions Concerning Justification. Questions Concerning Justification. Long ago, in the book of Job, Bildad asked this question. How then can man be justified with God? That's a good question. How then can man be justified with God? That's not a foolish question. The Apostle Paul said, avoid foolish questions. There's a lot of questions being asked today in religion that are foolish. many foolish questions being asked. Questions about the law, questions about genealogies, questions about this and about that. Foolish questions. Paul said, avoid them. They're a waste of time. I'm afraid that most of the questions that people are asking today in religion are foolish questions. But this question is not a foolish question. How then can man be justified with God? We need to seek an answer to that question. We need to deal with that question. We need to give serious attention and consideration to that question. Let's not avoid that question. That's not a foolish question. Are many today asking that question? I'm afraid not. Many today are avoiding that question. How then can man be justified with God? And I feel this morning that we need to deal with that question. We need to wrestle with that. And we need to seek an answer to that question. Seek the answer that is found, the only true answer that can be found in God's Word. How then can man be justified with God? So let's ask some questions concerning justification and seek to answer these questions, to establish this. You know, justification, that's a fundamental Bible truth. We need to be clear on justification. It's a doctrine, it's a truth that has been attacked down through the years. Justification, that was what rocked the Roman Catholic Church under Martin Luther. God raised up that man to ask that question, to deal with it, justification, and it rocked the Roman Catholic system, false system of salvation by works. And so that issue, the issue of justification then, has been one that has caused controversy whenever it's dealt with. And so it's a fundamental, essential Bible truth, Bible doctrine that we need to be clear on. Now my first question, I'm going to give you this message in a series of questions. My first question, number one, what is justification? What is the meaning of justification? Justification is a legal term. It's a legal term. Justification is an act of God whereby He pardons, forgives, and declares a sinner to be righteous in His sight. Now that's justification, as best as I know how to sum it up or to give a summary statement. It's an act of God whereby He pardons, forgives, and declares a sinner to be righteous in His sight. Now, justification is not just the forgiveness of our sins. It includes that, of course, but it involves more than just to have the forgiveness of our sins. When God justifies us, we not only receive the forgiveness of our sins, but we receive a perfect righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness. That involves more than just being forgiven and pardoned and have our sins to be forgiven. That's included in justification. But we receive a righteousness, a perfect robe of righteousness, which is of Christ. Christ's righteousness is given, imputed unto us by God.
And therefore, we are accepted in the Beloved. God accepts us as only He can, and that's in the righteousness of Christ that He gives us. Now, that's justification. Now, justification is the opposite of condemnation. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. All that are not justified are condemned. If they're not justified, then they stand in condemnation by God. No matter how much they try to justify themselves as self-righteous sinners do in the sight of God, they're always trying to justify themselves. That publican or Pharisee that went to the temple to pray, so-called, he was there. What was he doing? Justifying himself. You see, and that's illustration of self-righteous sinners. They seek to justify themselves before God, but if God doesn't justify them, they're condemned, and they remain in condemnation until God justifies them. And all that are justified are no longer in condemnation. For there is, therefore, now no condemnation to all that are in Christ Jesus, justified by Christ Jesus, through Christ. So justification, then, is the very opposite of condemnation. If you're not justified, you're condemned. That's your state in the sight of God. Condemnation. Now, if God has justified you, that justification is an eternal justification. Irreversible. God does not justify us and then turn around and condemn us. It's an eternal, irreversible justification. Remember in Romans chapter 8, where it says, whom He justified, them He also glorified. All that He justifies, He glorifies. All of them, without exception. So if God justifies us, then we're going to be glorified one day. In the purpose of God, we're already glorified. So justification, then, is eternal justification. What is justification? It's an act of God whereby He declares, forgives, pardons, and then declares a sinner righteous in His sight. And that righteousness is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect robe of spotless righteousness we have in Christ. That's my first question. All right, the second question is this. Why do we need to be justified? Why do we need to be justified? Well, because of who we are and what we are by nature. And we could turn to many scriptures. But let's stay here in Romans just for a moment. Let's first of all turn to Romans chapter 5. Just a couple of chapters over there from 3. And I want for us to look at beginning in verse number 6. And I want you to mark, underline, or just remember three words in Romans, beginning in Romans chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 6. Romans 5, verse number 6. And I'll emphasize these three words here to impress upon us why we need to be justified. Why every person needs to be justified. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And that's the first word, ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, that's the second word, sinners, Christ died for us. First word, ungodly. Second word, sinners.
All right? Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, that's your third word, enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Three words there that declare the state of every person who comes into this world. Ungodly, sinners, enemies. As Terry brought out this morning in the Sunday school lesson, says most people don't like to be called sinners, but that's what they are in the sight of God. Sinners. We don't like that word. Sinners. We don't like to refer to people or ourselves as being sinners, but yes, believe it or not, admit it or not, we're all sinners. By nature, we're ungodly. Yes, we're ungodly by nature. Even the religious person who's not been justified by God is ungodly. Ungodly. By nature. Sinner. By nature. Enemy. An enemy of God. For the very nature we have is enmity with God. At enmity. Opposed. Hatred of God. God's true character. We hate that by nature. The God of the Bible. Why do we need to be justified? Because of who we are by nature. Ungodly, sinners, enemies. All right, back in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Why do we need to be justified? Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. You mean there's not one righteous before God? No, not one, he says. Not one. There is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why we need to be justified, because by nature we're like that. Why do we need to be justified? Because of who we are. We stand condemned before a holy God. In the light of God's holiness, we're awful sinners. No, there's not none that is righteous, good in the sight of God. We need to be justified. Because of who we are. All right, third question. Who is the one that justifies sinners? Who is the one that justifies sinners? Well, that's God. Only God can justify sinners. Romans 8:23. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Only God can justify sinners. Now in James chapter 4 and verse 12,
Mark that down. We'll not turn there. But in James 4 and verse 12, we read where James writes, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy." Who is that lawgiver? Who's James referring to there? He's referring to God. God is the great judge, the lawgiver, who is able to save and is able to destroy. He's able to save, he's able to condemn. He has that right because he's the one who is the great judge of the earth, the universe. He is the lawgiver. And remember, I said a few moments ago that justification is used in the Bible concerning salvation and so forth, as it's set forth here in the Word of God, is a legal term. God is the lawgiver who has that right to either justify or condemn. He has that right because he's the lawgiver. And as a lawgiver, he's the only one that can declare a sinner to be justified in his sight. You know, justification and sanctification are both acts of God. But we need to remember that there is a difference in justification and sanctification, as I understand it. Both justification and sanctification are what God does. We cannot sanctify ourselves either more than we can justify ourselves. But there is a difference there between these two things of justification and sanctification. I like to look at it in terms like this. Justification is God as dealing with us as a judge, declaring us to be not guilty by virtue of the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whom we have as his righteousness is our righteousness, for forgiveness of sins. It's God, you might say, as a lawgiver declaring us to be justified. That is justification. Now, sanctification is like God as a physician healing us of our disease, which is sin. Dealing with us as the great physician, curing us of this terrible disease, this deadly disease of sin. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." Not in their sins, from their sins. From their sins. You know, salvation is, I am saved, I'm continuing to be saved, and I shall be saved. Yes? God, in sanctification, is the doctor, the physician, doing that internal work by His Spirit. Justification is God declaring us righteous in His sight by the person, through the person and work of Christ, redemptive work of Christ. So who is the one that justifies? Well, it's God. Only God can justify sinners. All right, the next question. I believe it's question number 4. If you're keeping up with the number. Question number 4. And this is one that, very important question. How does God justify the sinner? How does God justify guilty sinners? You know, along this same line, the same question, we need to put in parentheses another question that goes along with this. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just trying to deal with this in a
in this way. How can God be just and justify the guilty? How can God be just and justify the guilty? Well, that's a question that we need to wrestle with, that very few people today are asking. Wrestling with that question. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. How can a holy, just, righteous God justify someone who's guilty? Have you ever wrestled with that question? Well, doesn't it say in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 15 that to justify the wicked is an abomination when done by men? For man to justify the wicked is an abomination in the sight of God. For man to do that, then how can God be just and still justify guilty sinners? Well, that's a good question. You know, the answer to that question only comes by revelation. Man, in all of his so-called wisdom, knowledge, and learning, cannot answer that question. That's the revelation of God. How can God be just and justify the guilty? Well, the answer to that question is found here in our text in Romans chapter 3. Would you look at it with me? Romans 3. We're going to see how God can be just and justify the guilty, who deserve nothing but condemnation, who deserve nothing but judgment, who've broken His law, who stand condemned in His sight, who deserve His wrath and His judgment to be poured out. Sinner. Well, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace. By His grace. We read a few moments ago in Titus, that first passage of Scripture I had you turn to, Titus 3:7, there it says the same, almost uses the same words, justified by His grace. By His grace. Here, Paul uses the word freely. Free grace, justified, being justified freely, in order to emphasize that. That justification is an act of grace. There is nothing in us that moves God to justify us. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing. The reason for Him justifying sinners is not found in sinners. There's nothing in us that would cause God, move God, to justify us. It's all by His grace. He justifies us freely, by His grace. The grace of God shines gloriously in the justification of sinners. We have that emphasized over and over in the Scriptures, that it's of grace. Paul here states it, doesn't he? Being justified freely by His grace. And then he goes on to say this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a mercy seat. You know, I've been told that same word there, propitiation, is used in the original language there in Luke's gospel, where that publican went to the temple and smote upon his breast and hung his head down and said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The same word there is used as propitiation, mercy. Look to the mercy seat and be merciful to me. That is, look to Christ. Justify me, oh God, for Jesus' sake. And Paul is saying here that God has sent, whom God, speaking of Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that is, God's righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What is the answer to the question as to how can God be just and justify the guilty? Well, the answer to that question is found, isn't it, in verse 26, through Jesus Christ, that God may be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Christ Jesus our Lord. It's through His person, His work, His person and His redemptive work, that we're justified, that God can be just and justify the guilty. Christ obeyed the law perfectly for us. He was our surety, our substitute. He obeyed God's law perfectly on our behalf. He went to the cross, Calvary, and on that cross, He, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Our sins, our transgressions were placed upon Him. He, the just, died for the unjust. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And He assumed, now watch this, He assumed our guilt. Now that's remarkable. Think about it. Not only did He take and bear our punishment for our sins, He was punished in our place, in our stead, as our substitute. But He actually took our guilt, the guilt of our sins and transgressions. He took that. He assumed our guilt. You know, I can take somebody else's punishment, but there's no way I can take somebody else's guilt. Think about that. We can't do that. I can stand in their place and be punished in their place, but I can, no way possible, their guilt can be transferred to me. But Jesus Christ on that cross not only bore our punishment and our penalty for our sins, but our guilt was placed upon Him. And He bore that. He assumed that. It became His. And He paid the penalty in full for our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, and we receive His obedience, His righteousness. Our sin debt has been paid in full. We're no longer under condemnation because somebody, the God-man, Jesus Christ our Lord, paid for our sins, paid the penalty in full, paid the debt in full, assumed our punishment, our guilt, when He assumed our sins, was actually made sin for us. He who knew no sin
that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And we are in Christ. He has made unto us righteousness. And we're justified in Him, in Christ. And God is just. He's still just as holy and just and righteous. He hasn't fallen from that in declaring us who are guilty, because our guilt, our sins have been paid for. He can declare us righteous and just through Christ, which believeth in Jesus. Now, we're justified by faith. Romans 5:1, therefore, we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But you see, in verse 27, Paul then immediately adds, where is boasting then? We can't boast that, oh, I had faith and you didn't. I boasted. No, you can't do that. Why? Because it's a God-given faith. It's a God-given faith. You see, justification, and this leads me to my fifth question, my final question, and that is, who are justified? Not everyone is justified. Paul says here, which believeth in Jesus, in verse 26, which believeth in Jesus. You see, the Spirit of God enables us to believe in Jesus. The Spirit of God applies redemption and justification to us and gives us faith to lay hold of Christ and His righteousness. We have nothing to boast in. Where is boasting then? Paul says it is excluded. There's no room whatsoever in us boasting. Because faith itself is a gift of God. Faith is like the trembling hand that just reaches out and receives the perfect gift. And even faith itself is a God-wrought faith in our hearts. God gives us faith. He doesn't believe for us. He enables us to believe. I can't explain that mystery, but I know it's true. We're responsible to believe, yes. But we have to be enabled to believe before we can ever lay hold of Christ and His perfect righteousness and be justified. You see, the Spirit of God applies justification to us and redemption and all of the work of Christ. He applies it to us. We can no more help the Spirit of God to apply justification and redemption than we could help the Son of God to go to the cross and work out our redemption. Did we help Him in that? He did it Himself. We didn't help Him. Then we can no more help the Spirit of God to apply redemption than we help the Son of God to accomplish our redemption. It's all of grace. That's why I said that the grace of God shines gloriously in the justification of a sinner. The sinner doesn't have a hand in it. It's all of God. It's applied, accomplished by the Son of God in redemption. Justification is a declaration of God the Father, and God the Spirit takes the redemption and justification and applies it to the believing sinner. That's how God justifies sinners. Well, I trust that these questions that I've tried to confront us with this morning have helped us to have a better understanding of this, to emphasize this again in our hearing this morning, and that we might glory in our God, in Christ, our Lord, and praise Him and thank Him that He's justified us, and therefore we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, would you come lead us in closing hymn?
Number
125. First and the second, please stand. Number 125, Jesus paid it all, the first and the second. Service at 6 o'clock.